Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Well, if you've paid any attention to some of the headlines in your news feed, you've probably noticed that there's some people just a little bit upset out there, a little bit angry. Maybe you've noticed this. And of course, they always use a little shock value in the headlines. You read something that'll say something like, you know, fisherman is outraged, you know, something like that. 95-year-old widowed homemaker from small town USA is outraged. Gardener is outraged. It seems there's a lot of anger that seems to be out there. And you know, statistics really do seem to back this up. I was reading where 36,000 people every year, they die of heart attacks that are precipitated by anger. They're brought on by anger. I was reading where 50% of all emotional, psychosomatic, and interpersonal relationship problems stems from anger. This next one I know you know is true. 66% of traffic accidents, 66% are because of aggressive driving, angry driving. People are angry. Most homes are reporting that there is a tension level and a volume level and a stress level that is adversely affecting their family. And you probably know that this is true as well. I'm sure you have experienced the toxic side of anger, whether it was in your own life or coming from someone else. I know I have. I've experienced it. I'd say our worship leader, Corey Scott, he probably has a meltdown in the office at least twice a day. I'm just kidding. It's not more than once a day. I was just teasing about that. So that's probably what happens. I know at 45 years of age, I know I'm still dealing with that. When anger rises up within and you have to handle it in an appropriate way, anger is tricky. It is one of those tricky, complicated emotions because it is a secondary emotion. It's not the primary emotion. And it's one of those emotions that wells up and rises up in us. And the Bible presents it in such a way that there is a righteous anger and there's a toxic anger. There is a sanctified anger and there is a sinful anger. There is anger that is constructive and there's anger that is destructive. And that's what makes anger so complicated. That's why even in the Bible, you can read on one hand where a verse will say, be angry. Be angry, because there's some things you ought to be angry about. There is a righteous anger, some things you ought to be angry about. But then on the other hand, the Bible also say in the same book, get rid of all anger. So be angry, and yet get rid of all anger, because even a righteous anger that resides in our heart can become that which can become toxic if it is not handled correctly. In Ephesians chapter 4, in fact, if you have your Bible or device, I want you to open up to that. If you've ever wrestled with anger, ever, you want to open up to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the verse we're about to read. Paul is in Ephesus writing to this church. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to a culture that kind of like ours today was toxic with anger. In fact, we read about it in Acts 19, verse 32, when Paul goes to preach the gospel in Ephesus. There were those who were opposed to him, and they rioted against him. And it says in that text that the whole city got in an uproar and began to riot. And the verse says that most people didn't even know what they were rioting about. They were just rioting, but they didn't even know what the real issues were. Does it sound familiar? It's just how anger works. It resides under the surface. And when it has an opportunity to unleash itself, it will do so, even if it's not healthy, even though it's not productive. That's what anger does. And that's what was happening in that culture. And so Paul is writing to the believers in that angry culture. And here's what he says in Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Paul says, be angry. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. If you're taking notes, you can just circle that. Be angry. There is a righteous anger. There are some things you should be angry about. The Bible doesn't condemn anger in itself. We need to get angry about the things that anger God. Which means when you look at Scripture at the things that would anger God, you would say, you know what, we need to be angry about sex trafficking. We should be angry about that. We should be angry about child abuse, child abandonment, abortion, injustice, corruption, taking advantage of weak and vulnerable, people dying in their sins. We should be angry about that. We should be angry about those who care more about their traditions and their own comfort than they do about the salvation of someone else. We should get angry about that. Be angry. But be careful in your anger to not give the devil an opportunity. You see, anger is one of those complex emotions. A secondary emotion. There's something else driving this anger. And even when we're angry at the things that anger God, which we ought to be, we need to be careful. We should be angry and do not sin. And do not sin. Because when anger resides in your heart, your response will dictate whether you are going to respond in a righteous way or an unhealthy way. Be angry. We have to be on our guard. The word opportunity here, don't give the devil an opportunity. That word opportunity can literally mean an occupied territory. In other words, your heart can become an occupied territory from which Satan can launch his attacks. He can reside there with bitterness and unforgiveness. And he can wage incredible attack in your life. Remember Adam and Eve. If you remember that story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, and they had two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God, and Abel brought his sacrifice according to God's commands. Cain did not follow God's direction in bringing his sacrifice, and God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice, and Cain was upset about this. And here's what God said to Cain. He said, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." God was giving Cain an opportunity right then and right there to handle his anger in the right way. But instead, Cain allowed Satan to occupy territory in his heart and lead him to a dark place of bitterness where he murdered his brother. And maybe you haven't murdered someone physically, but perhaps you have in your heart. Jesus said, anyone who's angry with his brother, hates his brother, calls his brother fool, has murdered him in his heart and is subject to judgment and the fires of hell. Our anger can lead to some really unhealthy places. And I would imagine that every one of you, if you're like me, you at times have allowed anger to take up residence and occupy territory in your heart at one time or another. Talk about a dangerous place. Talk about sleeping with the enemy, letting him take territory in your life. And so I'm just asking the question today, how do we keep from anger getting a grip on us? How do we stop a rage reaction before it happens? How do we handle our anger correctly? And I just want to challenge you today at the first sign of anger to pause and ask yourself four questions. You can actually do this. At first sign of anger welling up inside of you, I want to challenge you to pause and ask four questions. I'm going to address the fact that you can really do that here in a little bit. Ask four questions. Here's the first question. Am I angry for the right reason? When you begin to feel anger welling up inside of you, you need to ask, am I angry for the right reason? Because most of us are angry for the wrong reasons. It's rooted in selfishness. It's rooted in our own insecurity. It's rooted in our own impatience. In fact, Galatians 5:20 will list acts of rage, fits of rage, anger, as part of the sins of the sinful nature. And so our anger response oftentimes is not for a good reason. It's not for the right reason. And we need to ask ourselves, why am I experiencing this anger right now? It's a secondary emotion. There's something else at work. In fact, Ken and Carol Bryant, they're in our congregation and they're with Oak Tree Marriage and Family Counseling. And I was in a session in which they talked about the how fear, our fears, play into our angers. That there are things that we want, that we desire, and when those are not being met, we experience fear of those things not being met. It's called our fear cycle, and we will get angry. And so our own anger can be tied to, you know, our desire for intimacy or respect. And when we're losing intimacy or losing respect or losing value or we're losing admiration or we're losing, it can trigger an anger response. And they just talk about how when that happens, those are things that only God can fill. You cannot
expect someone else in your life to provide that kind of value and security and worth and all those things that only God can do. So we just have to take that anger to God. We've got to release it to God. Those are not good reasons for us to allow anger to get the best of us. Chip Ingram, he talks about three reasons why we get angry. He says, first of all, we get angry because of unmet needs. And so what happens is we experience hurt. When we have unmet needs, we experience hurt. That's one of the reasons why we get angry. Another reason is unmet expectations. And when we have unmet expectations, we get frustrated. We experience hurt. We experience frustration because our expectations are not being met. And then the third reason we get angry is because of threatened self-worth. They call this insecurity. When we have a threatened self-worth, our own insecurity can lead us to have an anger response. And so anytime we're angry, we need to ask the question, why am I angry right now? Because even if it's for a wrong reason, anger is saying something needs attention. Something needs addressed. There's something in your life that's going on. And this anger, if it is destructive, if this anger is not for a right reason, you need to release it and give it to God. You don't want to hold on to this because it can be destructive. You need to release it. So if it's for a wrong reason, you need to release it to God. If it is for a right reason, if it's for a reason that God gets angry, the same reasons that he would get angry, then what we need to do is we need to engage it constructively. We need to allow the anger to motivate us to action. Righteous anger should lead us to right action. That's why this year, Walk Like Mad, right? Are you familiar with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Walk Like Mad? They raised $3.2 million this year because they were walking like mad. They're mad. They're angry about some things. And what they're angry about is allowing them to help victims bring awareness. Their righteous anger is leading them to righteous acts to do something constructive and good. But even they need to watch out because it's quite possible, maybe you know someone who's had that happen and they may be in an organization that's trying to do some good, but they themselves have allowed bitterness to take root in their heart and there's no grace and there's no forgiveness and there's a hardness there that's toxic. That's become an acid that is destroying their heart. And so we have to be careful. I'll tell you another great organization doing some great things, Rafa House. Rafa House does some great things. It's an organization that fights against the sex trade of young girls across our world and provides them with help and shelter. The injustices that these girls are experiencing has made some people mad, made them angry, and they should. And they're taking that righteous anger and they're directing it to righteous acts that can lead to something productive. You know, this is what Jesus did. Jesus got angry with a righteous anger, and he always responded to that with a righteous act. I'll give you one example. There's many, but I only have time for one. I'm sure you remember, a lot of you, from John chapter 2, verse 12, Jesus goes into the temple courts, a place of worship, a place of prayer, a temple that was meant to draw people to God, but also to send people out to let people know about God. It was an attractional force, and it was to be an expansive force. That was what the temple was for. But when Jesus came in there, there were moneylenders who were selling their goods and their product and their animals for sacrifices, and they were taking advantage of the worshipers, preventing them from worshiping God, but also they were in the court of the Gentiles, which is where the Gentiles would go to pray, and they were being prevented from doing the very thing that God wanted them to do. And when Jesus saw that, he was angry, and so he left, and he made a whip, and then he came back. And in righteous anger, he drove those moneylenders out of that temple. His righteous anger led him to righteous acts. And that's what should be happening in our lives. We should allow righteous anger to motivate us to do something. So is your marriage struggling? Get angry. Not at your spouse. Get angry at the evil one who's taking up residence and is destroying what God has created. With the Holy Spirit's power, you can fight against his schemes. Are you seeing sickness and disease and poverty and cruelty and these things around you? Get angry. Find a way in which you can have a righteous response. Get angry about the things that anger God and respond with a righteous response. That's what Jesus did. And a lot of times when I look at Jesus, he didn't get angry over injustices that were done to him. He was often angry at the injustices that were done to others when he was fighting for them. coming to their defense, fighting against those in power who are taking advantage of the weak. And so the first question we need to be asking ourselves is, am I angry for the right reasons? And if it's yes, I'm angry at the things that anger God, I need to engage it with a righteous response. But if not, then I need to release it. If I'm not angry for the right reasons, I need to release it to God. And I need to pray to God right in that moment. God, take this anger, take this response. I don't know what all is going inside of me, but I need to give this to you. This is not righteous. This is not holy. I'm releasing this to you. But if it is, we need to engage it. So ask the question, are we angry for the right reasons? Here's question number two. Am I angry to the right degree? Am I angry to the right degree? It seems that people tend to operate in extremes, and they either spew or they stew, right? Some of you are spewers, some of you are stewers. Is that a word? I don't know. You're skunks or you're turtles, and neither is healthy. So let's talk to the spewers first. Want to go ahead and admit it? Spewers, just go ahead and admit it. We all know you're a spewer. No, just kidding. You don't have to. So spewers, let me talk to you for a moment. You need to be careful. One person said it this way, that spewers need to watch out because they're never going to get to the top if they keep blowing theirs, right? Proverbs 14:17 says it this way, a quick-tempered person does foolish things, right? When we spew, we rarely do something that's good or healthy. In fact, research indicates that people who are spewers, people who express their anger and they just get it out, it often makes it worse. The more anger we communicate, the angrier we feel. For most of us, it stirs us up rather than calms us down. Carol Travis, in her book, The Misunderstood Emotion, says that the weight of the evidence says that expressing anger only increases it and solidifies a hostile spirit and a harmful habit. You start spewing, you spew more. In other words, spewing anger is like a factory. The more you spit it out, the more you produce. And we've got to be on our guard. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. A fool vents his anger fully, but a wise man will keep himself under control. He can control himself. We can control the degree to which we get angry. We can control our responses. Now, some of you think, I'm not sure I can do that, but you can. When I say you start to feel anger welling up, you need to pause and ask yourself some questions. You're like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. No, it can happen. I'll prove it. I guarantee you there's probably been a time in your life when you were in one of those tense moments and there was exchange of heated words with somebody else. It could have been a spouse. It could have been a friend, a former friend. It could have been a sibling, family member. And you guys were in a heated exchange and something happened. Knock at the door. Could have been the ringing of a phone, and it's business, and you got to take it. And all of a sudden, in that moment, you had to respond, and so you did. And you said something like, hello? Hey, yeah. Oh, living the dream, man. Just living the dream. Yes. No, it's, yeah, good. It's good, good. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, appreciate you calling. Thanks. Bye. What you didn't do was, oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, you called at a bad time right now. No, you changed your tone. You know why? Because you discovered in that moment that it would have been inappropriate for you to give full vent to your feelings in that moment. You realized in that moment, it is not appropriate to give full vent to my feelings. I'm going to control it, and then I'll come back to it later. That's exactly what you do when the anger begins to well up inside of you. And you pause and ask yourself four questions. The first one is, am I angry for the right reason? The second one is, am I angry to the right degree? That's an important question. And it looks like my sermon just got shorter with all those notes on the floor. That's another question. Am I angry to the right degree? Spewers are never angry to the right degree. But neither are those who stew. Those who stew, they also are not angry to the right degree. They're like a wildfire that's hiding there below the tree line after a lightning strike. and the sparks of anger start coming out. And it comes out by rolling your eyes, being sarcastic, looking for payback, being hypercritical, judgmental, holding a grudge for a really long time. That's what spewers do. They hold a grudge. They don't forget. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not easily angered and does not keep a record of wrongs. But people who stew keep a long record of wrongs. They keep that list of offenses. And Satan begins to occupy the territory of their heart. And bitterness and resentment take place. And always the way they feel about it is way beyond and stronger than the actual act itself. It is one of those situations in which we are not angry to the right degree. And so you need to be asking yourself, in my approach to anger, is this going to escalate? That's what spewers do. Is it going to escalate? Or is it going to perpetuate? That's what those who stew do. Is this going to escalate and perpetuate my anger and anger towards other people? Or is it going to dissipate and dissolve? Is this going to escalate and perpetuate? Or is this going to dissipate and dissolve? Here's how James says in his letter, James 1, 19 through 20. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, when you look at a lot of anger management techniques or materials, a lot of them will follow this verse. We need active listeners, attentive listeners, because oftentimes one of the reasons we're angry is we're not listening well. We don't understand well. And so they'll talk about how we need to listen. James says, be quick to listen. We will also hear that we need to think before we open our mouths. We need to slow down and think before we open our mouths. Slow to speak. We need to be slow to speak. Proverbs 21, 23 says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. We should guard our speech. Be slow to speak. Number three says here that we need to slow down our response. We're oftentimes quick to respond. We need to slow. We need to be slow to become angry. Most of the time, when we are getting angry, we need to slow down the response. There's few occasions when we need to right then get angry and act immediately. Most of the time, we need to slow down our response and ask the question, am I angry to the right degree? Proverbs 29, 22 says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. We need to slow down, because our God is slow to anger. This is an attribute that in seven different books of our Bible, it tells us about God that He is slow to anger. We should be too. So am I angry to the right degree? If yes, then engage it. If you're angry to the right degree, then you are prepared to engage. But if not, you need to restrain it. Control it. Restrain it. Now's not the time to engage. That leads us to the third question. Question number three. Am I expressing anger at the right time? So am I angry for the right reason? Am I angry to the right degree? Am I expressing anger at the right time? There is a right time. I mean, you could choose to confront someone. And you can choose to do it now, later, or never. Now, later, or never. And if you're dealing with an issue that waiting would only make it worse, you need to address it now. If you're dealing with an issue in which the emotions are running high, you need to wait till later. You see this in sports a lot. Whenever you're having that parent meeting with the coaches and they're like, hey, the best time to approach a coach is not right after the game. Wait 24 hours and then you can engage. Why? Because a lot of times a little sleep, a little perspective, a little time, and we're in a better place to deal with it. And so they tell us that. Sometimes you just need to engage it later. And then in some cases, we need to never address the issue with a person and confront them because it's not about them. When we ask the question, am I angry for the right reason? And we start going through this process, we begin to realize it's really not about them. This is actually something in me. Something is broken in me. Insecurities in me. My own selfishness. My own frustrations. My own whatever. And in those moments, we need not confront another person and just open up wounds that over time become infected. We need to release that to God and take it to Him. It's not an issue that should be dealt with someone else. We have to prayerfully evaluate whether this is something we should engage or not, whether time worsens or whether time heals this situation. There's just sometimes this is not the time to engage it. And you need to prayerfully evaluate that. I know that some of you are a solve it now kind of person. That's how you're wired. When there's a conflict, you're like, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to solve it right now. Let's get it all out in the open. Let's get the cards on the table. We're going to solve it. That's your personality, right? Some of you. Then there's others of you. And when you feel hurt, you need to process it and you need to think about it. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. You're analyzing it within yourself and you're not ready to engage it yet because you're still trying to sort through your own emotions and feelings. And somehow these people end up oftentimes getting married to each other, right? That's how that happens. And you have to work through those things. We need to show some grace to each other when we're working through those things that we sometimes process it and work through it a little differently in a different manner. Evaluate that. I came across a graph this week that talked about unhealthy versus healthy dealing with our anger. Of course, on the two extremes, you have unhealthy, healthy in the middle. And so over here, we've got those who spew, right? That's an unhealthy response to get it all out, explode, yell, scream, belittle, get it out there, spew. Not healthy. Some of you just grin and bear it, implode, withdraw, silent treatment, keep everybody guessing as to why you're mad. That's the stew. That's not good either. And then we have in here those who realize that this needs to be expressed. Somebody needs to be reconciled with or it needs to be confronted. So you need to express it when it's appropriate. You need to communicate directly to that person. Doing it in person is best. There are times when it is right time to engage it. Then there's other times when it's not. And you need to redirect it. And you need to release it. And the way to do that is you discharge indirectly, not to a person, but you do it through other means, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And that may be that you do that through physically active ways or through emotionally calming ways. And we're going to hit on this. But here's what the question that you're answering is, am I angry? Am I prepared to deal this at the right time? Now, if you're expressing your anger at the right time, if yes, then engage it. Engage it. You're ready to move forward. But if not, you need to delay it. If it is not the right time for you to engage, you need to delay it and wait. I know the text says, don't let your son go down while you're still angry. I think the principle of that text is most of the time we want that to be the case. But just don't allow sunset after sunset to happen in your life without addressing an anger issue. Or it is going to turn into bitterness. So the principle is we want to address it as soon as we can. But sometimes you need to delay to make sure both you and the other person are prepared to deal with it in a healthy way. So that leads us to the last question. So is it the right reason? Is it to the right degree? Is this the right time? But here's the fourth one. Am I expressing anger in the right way? Am I expressing it in the right way? I was listening to this couple, and they were talking about this in their own relationship, their own marriage relationship. And the husband was saying to his wife, he's like, you know, I know there's times you're unhappy with me. I know that. But I'm just amazed. You know, I can't remember a time that you've ever actually lost your temper with me. He's like, how do you do that? And she's just like, every time I start to feel angry like that, I just go clean the toilets. He's like, but how would that help? And she's like, I use your toothbrush. Not a good approach, not a good way to do that. Remember, wives, who's the first person normally he'll kiss after he brushes his teeth? Yeah, keep that in mind. Might come back to bite you on that deal. But in the book, Overcoming Emotions, there are healthy and unhealthy ways of dealing with anger. And if your goal is to release it and redirect it and to say, I need to just let go of this, then you've got two options. And you could do both, but some of you, maybe you deal with anger more when you have a physical, active response. You go running, you go play some sports, you go chop wood, you know, you start driving nails, you know. And just that physical exertion helps you deal with some frustration, some anger. That can be helpful. But for those who are prone to violence, that's not always the most helpful for them. It can stir it up. And so for them, they need an emotionally calming response. And so for them, it might be something very different. It may be slow breathing. It could be journaling. It could be writing a letter to someone who hurt you and then never sending it. It could be going to a park. It could be walking. It could be a hot bath. It could be a cold shower. It could be soothing music. But there's something else that's going to help you with your anger. And you need to identify what works for you. And in what situation do you need to release this and redirect it in a healthy way? Because if someone needs confronting, then your goal is reconciliation and resolution. It's not winning. That is not your goal. You may need to do that. And before all of that comes prayer. praying to God and asking for wisdom to know when to engage or when not to. And so the question is, am I expressing my anger in a right way? And if the answer is yes, this is a right way to express it, then resolve it. But if it's not, if you're not expressing anger in the right way, you need to repent of it. You need to turn from your sin, and you need to cry out to God to forgive you. Cry out to those you've wounded. Ask them to forgive you. And you need to repent of mishandling your anger. You need to stop it. And you need to allow God to do a new work in you, in your heart, so you can handle it in a different way. You see, Aristotle said, anyone can become angry, but to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, this is not easy. And so I believe that these four questions, when anger is welling up in you, if you would pause and ask them, would help you to have a righteous anger. You see, God is angry for the right reasons. It's never rooted in selfishness. God is angry to the right degree. The Bible says he's slow to anger. God expresses his anger at the right time. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, the Bible says. But eventually his wrath, full wrath, will come. He expresses it in the right way. It is a gracious way. In fact, God's anger is a righteous anger against sin and against the evil one. And somehow in his graciousness and in his mercy, God took that anger that was directed towards sin, and he directed all of that anger upon his son Jesus when he went to the cross. I know when we look at the cross, we want to say, look at God's love for us. Look at the extent of his love. But it is also a picture of wrath. That's why in theological terms, they'll talk about how Jesus was our propitiation. It means he took the full brunt of God's wrath. All of God's wrath against sin was poured out on Jesus. He traded faces with me. He traded places with me. He took the punishment that was due me because of my sins, and he took it upon himself. He took the full brunt of God's wrath. He responded to a righteous anger with a righteous gift of Jesus. Romans 5:9 says, we've been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Through his blood, we've been saved. And I want this truth just to resonate with you this morning during our time of communion. Our praise team is going to sing a song, and we're just going to listen. And there's going to be a video up on the screen, and we're just going to watch. And we're going to let the truth that Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself just to resonate in our hearts. Here in just a moment, our servers are going to be dismissed. And they're going to go get communion. They're going to bring it right back in here. And they're going to serve you. And when you receive bread representing the body of Jesus and a cup representing his blood, we want to invite you just to hold on to that for a moment as you're watching this video and listening to the words of this song. And I would just encourage you, when you're ready, then you partake. You partake of the bread representing his body, the cup for his blood. And if you're a follower, a believer of Jesus, we invite you to do this. If not, you don't need to feel obligated to take this. It's okay to let the trace pass. But hold on to that. And I would even encourage you during the song, when you hear Kira singing about nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, that is a powerful moment when you could partake of this communion and remember what Jesus did for you. And so Jesus, right now, we thank you for your love and for your grace. We thank you that your act of kindness to us helped us see you for who you really are. We thank you that you took the punishment that was ours, and that we are free from condemnation. We are justified before you because of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If our servers would be dismissed at this time, let's listen to this song.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.com or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.